Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's the radio.
And I'm Megan.
Oh, and I'm Alice.
And we talk about video games.
No. Yeah, no, we do. That's it.
We collect video games. We occasionally play video games. We follow video games in the news. And, well, there has been some news.
Yeah. I would say, like, in general, with video games and production and releases, like, it's going to be slower for a bit, right? That's just how it is.
Which is why we get the chance to go back into our prodigious library and figure out what games we haven't played in a while or have not played at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finally giving them a try.
Yeah.
But I am talking about one of the big video game acquisitions that have happened in the past. Well, we mentioned it last week.
Oh, yeah. Microsoft bought ZeniMax. Yay!
Who owns Bethesda.
Yay!
Which is, people are comparing it to how Disney bought Fox.
Well, yeah, I think that's where it could definitely go. I think it's all right for right now, but, you know, we don't want, it is not good sort of the way that Disney owns, like, you know, 80% of the movies released, like, not this year, last year, were Disney, or, like, owned by Disney in some way or another, right? Or, like, some amount was owned by Disney.
So, the House of Mouse kind of rules a lot of media.
Yeah, so, and that's bad. Like, basically, it obviously causes for a lack of diversity or a lack of differentiation in video games, and sort of it sets the bar for, like, this is the kind of mediocrity we can have and people will still pay $80 for it kind of thing, right?
And when they do questionable things, who's going to be able to take them to task?
Nobody.
That's what we're going to be seeing, I think, in the coming times with video games is that...
For sure, but I would say the other thing with video games is that they have a very healthy indie community.
True. And
indie, like, I think, whereas movies or video or, like, TV, stuff like that is a little harder to get, like, some kind of publication for, whereas indie video games, I don't want to say it's easier to, but it's more that indie video games have a chance, you know what I mean? And people are very willing to give indie video games their money. Like, I would, like, for example, like, Undertale is a very good example of it. Undertale was an indie video game that was kickstarted, and now it is, like, or, well, I would say it was, but it is a global phenomenon, and people think extremely highly of it, for good reason. Like, it's a very good game.
It's an incredibly good game. You guys can just go and check it out, because it is definitely...
But it's sort of like, I think indie games will sort of be kind of our salvation, or the smaller publishers, things like, you know, Annapurna, like, that do smaller, smaller kinds of games, right?
Right, so... Definitely go and support your indie video game makers.
Yeah, well,
go check out some titles that are out there on, like, itch.io.
Does Bethesda need more money? No, they absolutely do not. They're, like, you know, they're doing okay making really bad Fallout games.
But that's the thing. They're still making money even by putting out really bad Fallout games.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And that's the thing is also Bethesda and, like, ZeniMax, they have a bunch of, you know, little game companies underneath them, right? Like, Bethesda
Arcane.
Produces. Yes, yeah, well.
That was one of our more recent ones we were talking about that you really enjoyed the game.
I liked Dishonored. It was okay. I think the thing with Dishonored is it probably would be more beneficial if I played it on a computer. Speaking of which, I ordered a new gaming laptop.
When we get your Twitch channel all set up, tell the people about it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited to play games that, you know, maybe were sort of meant to be more played on a PC kind of thing.
Well, you and I both, got the bundle for,
Racial Justice.
Racial Justice.
From Itch. And once again, like, there's about probably 100 games that I own, that I just can't play. Like, things like, you know, I have Overwatch. I can't play it, but I have it. You know, there's just a bunch of games that I have. Like, even, like, The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. I have that on PC, but we just didn't play it until now because we could only play it on PlayStation because I don't have a working PC. I have a Mac, and that works for about 30% of the games I own, you know?
Well, you have been trying to play Left 4 Dead 2 on that.
Yeah.
That relatively old.
Well, here's the thing. That's the thing that I did play Left 4 Dead 2 on. And yeah, I actually did play. There was a update for Left 4 Dead 2, speaking of. And it's fun. I played it. It's like surprisingly challenging. I feel it's a little short, but it's also like, it maybe feels short as in the way that it's like three chapters in one sort of thing versus five. But it is longer between. So I think it's sort of in the end, it's the same amount. I think we spent about 2 hours in it. So that's pretty good. And once again, it's the first update in seven-ish years. So
just think of how well it's going to function on your shiny new rig.
No kidding. I would say the amount of trouble I do have with my Mac regard. Once again, I love it. It still works after. It's like it's at least 10 years old now. And it still plays Left 4 Dead 4. Okay. Yeah. But I'm excited to get a thing that will use the... I have a bunch of games that I can't play. But now I will be able to. Wow, what a world.
Does your new gaming computer have a touchscreen?
No.
Well, then you're going to have to play Among Us the old-fashioned way with mouse.
I'm going to play it on my iPad.
So, speaking of Among Us, they have decided that they aren't going to work on Among Us 2 at the moment. Instead, they are going to concentrate on improving the game as it is. They've already done some stuff recently where they have improved their servers, or they're working on improving their servers, making the codes a bit better.
To interject here, Among Us is a party game where you can play with up to 10 players, and it's sort of like you have to figure out who is the imposters killing people on the ship while trying to fix the ship.
It's gotten very big all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's huge. It's funny because I was talking to you. I was like, you know, we were playing it about a month or two ago, and I was trying to look up YouTube videos for it, and there was not a lot. And I was just like, okay, well, and now it's everywhere, which is fine because I think it's legitimately an enjoyable game. The developers are like, they're pretty happy about this. Like, they're very surprised, but they're actively working to make a better game. And the fact that they're not making another game, they're just going to update and work on the one they have, is really nice. Like, people don't have to go out and buy another game, which, you know, it's for most platforms, it actually is free. Like, it's not free on, I think, PC. That's about it, actually. I think that's the only thing it's not free on.
It's like $6 on PC. It is incredibly inexpensive, and you get all the hats. I'm going to add that because...
Well, and then you get to... there are extras you can buy. Like, on my iPad, I've bought stuff just because I'm like, I got this for free. I do not mind giving them, like, my $3 or $4 for a little tiny person to follow me around, right?
It's pretty great.
Yeah, so I do appreciate things like this because, yeah, it is like they realize that people are enjoying playing this, and especially this is a game that, like, even if you don't really play video games, it is something that you can sort of get behind. Like, it's fairly simple. It's, like, several swishes. Like, if you are playing on, like, mobile, usually everyone has touch screens now, right? So it's a little couple swishes of your touch screen, and you've done a task in the game. Like, you've played the video game, right?
It's a bit of a learning curve going from being a crewmate to an imposter, and an imposter to a crewmate, but once you get the hang of it, it's all up to you on how to trick your fellow crew members.
Yeah.
And, we've been having a lot of fun with that, especially since we can't really get out to see a lot of our friends at this time.
Yeah, yeah. And so I've heard also, like, a lot of, it's very popular. It's just, in general, very popular, and I like that. I appreciate that, and I like when small little games sort of blow up and, you know, it's received quite well.
There is another competitive game that's going to be coming out on the 1st, mm-hmm. and I'm going to check it out. It's for the Switch. Super Mario Brothers 35.
Okay.
So it's sort of like that Tetris 99 situation where you are 35 people playing the original Mario Brothers.
Oh my gosh.
You can...
Is this a free game?
I still have to look into that.
Okay, because I'm like...
I think it's for... It is definitely have to have the online aspect of it, so.
Yeah, but was Tetris 99 free?
It was free, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if this will also be free, just like you will have to have the online thing. This is fine. I don't really... Like, here's the thing. I'm not really big into competition. It stresses me out, so I don't like these kind of games at all.
I already know how much you aren't too keen on playing the Mario Brothers games because they stress you out
already. Yeah, regular Mario stresses me out. He goes over jumps, and I'm like, oh, no, Mario's not going to make it. And lots of the time, he doesn't. So this is just like childhood anxiety watching my brother and cousins play Mario, and I'm like, oh, no, he found the hole again. It just stresses me out.
Yeah, and you can throw more enemies at your way. You can add more coins. You can randomize things.
That's kind of cool. Okay, like, I think it's neat. I also appreciate the, you know, interactivity with other people. Like, I do feel that more and more sort of online party games, games that people can play with other people, like, far away or whatever, locally, that will be more a thing that will be... like game developers will be pushing towards. Like once again, Among Us is kind of the perfect one, just in terms of like
it's accessible.
Yeah, it's incredibly, and they're even gonna adapt it. They're gonna have a colorblind option as well, just like because I'm sure some of those the colors of the little characters, you know, they definitely would get lost.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of little quality of life things that, you know, couldn't be added continually to make and have more games that, you know, everybody can play, even if they're, you know, stuck in their houses kind of thing.
They have a type chat option on Among Us, by the way, but we've been playing on Discord to make our votes.
Mm-hmm.
It makes things more fun, I think.
Oh, well, I people can play with other people online, but I don't like to because I'm a little baby and I can't handle that. So,
before this, we were also looking at a bunch of spooky game previews because we are getting into my favorite season, the spooky season.
Well, for sure. One thing I want to touch on before that is that the Tokyo Game Show was this weekend.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. And I would say, like, it was kind of lackluster and, you know, granted, for reasons that we explained before that, you know, just stuff isn't. As much stuff isn't as coming out as much. That's all. Like, that's just how it is. We'll have to deal with that how we go. You know, we know Nier's coming out. Nier Replicant. I'm excited.
East Origins comes out this month again. So I'm...
From the Tokyo game.
They have previews for that, too.
Yeah. There's a... What was it? Ni no Kuni mobile game. Which, to be honest, looks gorgeous for a mobile game. I'm, you know, like, Ni no Kuni is not my, it maybe would have been my type of game, like, if I was maybe, like, you know, 15
years ago.
Yeah. And I would have the time for that. But if I'm going to do, like, a JRPG kind of thing, it's going to be Final Fantasy IX. I'm going to replay that game. I'm going to put the 90 hours into that one and that one only.
They're going to hopefully eventually remake 8 and then 9, and then we can go back and...
Oh, I would love a 9 remake. I don't know, like, I don't know what they could do to it. I to be honest, I enjoy
the... Up the music and up the graphics. Give it, like,
for sure. Oh, well, one thing that we did see, there's going to be a Final Fantasy 16.
Yes, and we don't know much about the gameplay yet. It's,
Well, I think we know more about it than I thought we would, which is that only one person. It does look more like, sort of a Kingdom Hearts / Final Fantasy 15 style gameplay, right? Where it's not turn-based, which we know that Final Fantasy's kind of abandoned that a little bit, which, I don't know, that's fine. If you want it, you can play the older Final Fantasies, right?
Did we see the end of turn-based games at this point?
I don't think so. I think there will still, once again, indie games are still there, and there's always going to still be that sort of, where they're going to subvert the genre. Anyway, one thing I did find interesting is that it seems to be there's only one character that is playable, versus, you know, Final Fantasy, you have a party, right? You always you have a colorful cast of characters that are your companions that you hang out and talk with and you do side quests for. I'm sure there will be this in some sort of way, but I don't, maybe it's like you hire them, or maybe you only get one companion. But that's kind of a thing that I don't care about the turn-based, but the one thing that I do care about Final Fantasy is, you know, they have a good, colorful cast of characters that are like, recognizable to an extent.
This is the Dark Mage. This is the Dragoon. This is the healer. Fighter.
Yeah. And it's sort of like I appreciate that. Like Final Fantasy, they do know that. I want to say they a little bit abandoned it in Final Fantasy 15 because, like, you know, the profiles of the four main characters are fairly similar, like, and by like silhouettes, like if I stood them up, like they're just different heights and slightly different hair.
And one of them has glasses.
Yeah. Well, that's how you tell the difference. Anyway, like I'm not trying to knock it, but like that would be my only main thing about Final Fantasy 15, where I was sort of like, they're a little samey, but you know what? It does fit that boy band aesthetic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I will give it a try, though, because we do have it on PlayStation Now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Final Fantasy 15, I'm excited for. Final Fantasy 16 looks interesting. Looks a little bit like they're taking it a step back in terms of...
we're going back into some high fantasy.
Exactly. Instead of, like, the car of, you know, there was a car in Final Fantasy 15, right?
With the cell phone pictures.
Yeah. Which, you know, we'll see, you know... I don't hate it. I don't love it. I think it's interesting that we are going back to a more maybe quote-unquote traditional Final Fantasy. Who knows? But speaking of spooky games, though.
Speaking of spooky games.
I want to say before you start, there was another trailer that dropped. Because this was already sort of announced, but Amnesia Rebirth had another trailer drop. So Amnesia it's going to be the third game, I think, in the series of Amnesia, The Dark Descent, and Amnesia Machine for Pigs by Frictional Games. And Amnesia is personally one of the scariest games I've ever played. And once again, I'm a big weenie baby, so I'm like, every game is the scariest game, but this is a game that I played.
I won't be able to play. We will get it, but it'll just sit there as a testament to what we can't
play. It's fantastic, like atmospheric, terrifying. They utilize, like, it was also one of those games where it was sort of the first where you couldn't really fight back. Like, there wasn't a lot of, attacking, fighting, and that was sort of, it did lead towards not a genre, but sort of like a subsect of games that sort of riffed off of Amnesia, because it was very good. It did a lot, and it sort of did it in a way that, you know, people hadn't really seen before. Or maybe it wasn't as effective.
I think this is the first game that I've seen a Let's Play for, because someone had been playing it, and they were just so scared, and it was just so hilarious to see this person so terrified.
Yeah.
Like, before, Let's Plays weren't much of a thing. And that's horror true. Let's Plays became...
pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Amnesia was one of them, because Amnesia has some very good, like... it has some scares that are not jump scares. It's just like you scare yourself, because it's the atmosphere is very scary. But coming out with Amnesia Rebirth, so I guess some interesting notes. You will be a female presenting character, I think, which is a departure from the other two. Like last time you played, male presenting.
Unless you want to do the DLC the first one, which was Justine, which was.
Cool. Yeah. Justine, I think it was a workshop thing. Like, I think it's technically not by them, but it was like...
but they've released it with...
yes. So yeah. No, because it's that good. Yeah. Like, it is terrifying. But Rebirth looks like... it's interesting because there would be some parts where you're actually legitimately in, like, daylight, it looks like. Which, in neither Amnesia's, you've been in daylight. Like, you maybe get it, like, glimpses through, like, foggy, dirty windows. But you don't get, like, you're not outside in the day.
I'm trying to think of the last scary game that we played or watched where it was in daylight. And it was so scary because it was in daylight.
I don't remember either.
I'll think of it, but there was one that had that sort of atmosphere that was so weird because it was day.
Mm-hmm. And so Amnesia Rebirth looks like you are, like, crash-landed. It looks, once again, Amnesias, I feel they're very, like, they're a little disconnected. Like, they don't have a lot to do with one another. So I think this will continue. It'll just sort of be spooky, but it looks looks terrifying. It looks like there's sort of going to be some sort of ancient ruins that you have to dig through or look through. Yeah. Which is cool. Like, I like that as a setting. The other two settings, you know, that it is different from that. I wonder if it'll do the Resident Evil thing where we eventually loop back to something like, you know, there'll be a mansion anyways kind of thing.
Speaking of Resident Evil, there is going to be a Resident Evil TV show coming out for Netflix next year, which we are going to check out when that happens.
Like, I have mixed feelings because I've seen the CG movies, and they're okay. In some ways, they're better than, like, the latter half of the live-action ones. And here's the thing. I'm a fan of the live-action movies. Like, I'll defend the first couple pretty hard, but after a while, it doesn't get good. But the CG movies are not bad, so this could be good. This could be terrible. It will really depend on, like, the quality. I think it'll be good. Like, I think at this point in time, Capcom has, like, a good amount of faith in the Resident Evil series. Like, they've been doing well. Resident Evil 7, the remakes.
Well, now that their main competitor is been effectively removed, which was Silent Hill.
Yeah. But Silent Hill was removed for a while, and they still were doing, like, Silent Hill was downhill. Like, the only hope was the P.T. Kojima game, but that was, you know, like, a shot in the dark. But Silent Hill had been going downhill for a while. So, like, I don't think that in any way was the competition to Resident Evil. Resident Evil's own competition is itself and what they were doing with it with Resident Evil 6, which is a pretty decent game, but just not a very good Resident Evil game. But it also could be a bad game. But also, I love it as a Resident Evil game just because it's just that. It's just not part of anything. Anyway,
so
Spooky games,
because we are coming into spooky season. There have been some announcements that we've been watching. Mm-hmm. Outlast has a new game called The Outlast Trials. For those of you who don't know what Outlast is.
Well, the Outlast games are too scary.
And I swear we've tried to play them, and then we chickened out. You are a prisoner.
In this one? It's just you're a person, and usually you have a camera, and you go through a scary place. I think they're very well done. They do have jump scares, but they also are just, like, incredibly atmospheric. I think you don't ever get to attack. Like, it does utilize the fact that you are hiding, running away, trying to get away. They're scary games. Yeah. Like, I could never play either of them. They're also a little gruesome at times. Like,
we should forewarn people that these are not
most spooky games are scary, or like are some amount of like teen plot to mature, right?
At Five this Nights point at Freddy's doesn't count.
It's Five Nights scary, at Freddy's is kind reasons. Of an amazing game because, once again, it doesn't really utilize things like blood or gore. It utilizes jump scares, but yeah, which I think is great. And that's probably why it's so, like, quote-unquote kid-friendly, even though it's incredibly dark.
And
speaking of which, though, there is a new Five Nights at Freddy's coming out, Security Breach.
Yes.
I would say haven't seen any gameplay from it. The designs look really cool. I'm really into it. It features characters from the VR game. Like, the character's name is Vanny, which is sort of like a rabbit character. She's dressed in a rabbit suit.
They seem to be really building into more of the lore, and this is like, we'll see what this one does, but you're still not going to catch me playing a Five Nights at Freddy's game just because I'm a weenie.
I wonder if this is another VR game as well, but it is going to be for the PlayStation 5, apparently, so we'll see how that goes. I'm excited. I like the Five Nights at Freddy's games. I think I'll never play them, but I think they're neat.
Tokyo Ghostwire, we finally saw some more action from that front.
Yeah, we've seen a bunch of that.
Yeah. Observer System Redux. Now, this was based off the novel series, and you had been talking about it before.
Yeah, because it's voiced by the guy from Blade Runner, Rutger. I believe is his first name. I don't remember his last name. But, and it's like, I think it's narrated by him, and it's like you're sort of looking over the wreckage of something. Like, maybe it gives me Obra Dinn vibes. Like, if any game is similar in premise or, like, gameplay-wise to Obra Dinn, I will probably play it now because I loved that game so much.
You just love your mysteries and solving them mysteries.
I do.
You like putting the pieces together.
I do. Puzzle, like, it's a different kind of puzzle. So, Observer sort of looks like that. It sort of looks spacey. Redux is interesting. I guess they're just sort of adding more to it. Which, yeah, it looks like they're extending it as well, maybe even doing a little more gameplay, because I think the original Observer is, like, you're not doing a lot of gameplay, you know? It's sort of observing, as you were.
And, Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope comes out at the end of October, which is what we are planning our Halloween around.
Yeah.
So we do have our Halloween plan. We're gonna get loaded up on candy.
And watch that game. Or watch that game. Yes. Yeah. Because once again, with those games, they're like the, what is it? Until Dawn. What was it? Man of Medan. There's another one in between, I think, what we forgot. Oh, like the VR ones.
Yeah, which someday when we have VR, we'll be able to play
one day.
It.
Anyway, but that's from that series. So they do have this option where you can either play online with other people or you can pass the controller off, I think, with a group of people, which is kind of neat. Once again, I like these kind of games. And then it's also, like, it's a movie, home movie mode is what they call it.
Yeah.
It has once again, actors, like, legitimate actors that I can never remember their actual names. I know what he's in. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, but I don't remember what his name is.
And we saw more on Scorn, which we had been, I think we talked about this about 3 years ago
now.
I
have
when they initially
no
showed
idea if we've ever talked about it, because I think I would have remembered talking about the H.R. Geiger game, but if you know who H.R. Geiger is, he's the guy who invented, or he designed, Alien. So, like,
the movie Alien.
And, like, sort of Xenomorph is sort of, I guess, if we want to get into it, or to be more specific when we're talking about Alien, because I could be talking about any amount of aliens. But specifically, he designed it, and he did helped a lot with, like, just prop work, design work for Alien. And it kind of makes sense that they'd make a game based off of his work, since it's so, like,
he melds a lot of flesh and metal structures together.
Yeah, organic. Yeah, he does. It's, I would say it's weird. He has certain fascinations with certain things that can obviously be seen in designs like the Xenomorph. But it's just, it's interesting that, yeah, they would make a game, especially since, like, the stuff he did was incredibly sort of detailed. And despite it being all sort of connected, it doesn't seem like there's a narrative to it, you know? Like, it just sort of seems like bizarre worlds and kind of things, right?
Yeah, like, we don't know anything about this world, what is happening,
why you're there, why you have a flesh gun.
It's really trippy to look at, and we will follow up on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to assume they're going to make up some kind of, like, lore around it, because I don't know 100%, like, I don't know that much about H.R. Geiger, but I do know a little bit, and I don't know for sure if there's actual, like, stories behind his work. But yeah.
And at the end of all this, if you've had enough gore, enough Halloween, enough spooky, Pokemon DLC comes out.
Oh, good, yeah.
So I gotta finish the current DLC, and then I can start on the next DLC.
Yeah, so, get to that.
I will. All right, everybody. That's everything we got for you for this week. That's a lot of spooky games coming out, so a lot of stuff to entertain you with. And go and check out Among Us. It is worth it.
It's fun.
All right, everybody. Keep changing.
Bye.